in the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Our co-host this week, once again, is Christopher O'Brien. He is not going to appear here in his trickster guise.
Are you? Don't need to. We have a trickster coming on.
Do we?
Yeah, he's Clifford Mahoudi is Clown Clan. He's a trickster.
Uh-oh. We'll have to talk about that in a moment. Before we do that, though, there have been some pretty wild speculation in the PowerCast forums at forum.thepowercast.com where people were trying to take us to task because we weren't asking the tough questions anymore.
Mm.
And I think here's a statement I'll make as you listen to the PowerCast this week. And I'm Gene Steinberg, co-host Chris O'Brien. My statement is simply this. We used to, and I'm not going to criticize anybody for it, put on guests and maybe we would ask them softball questions because they were our friends under the previous administration, as it were. I don't think we do that right now. I think we try to be as fair as possible to the guests. We're not going to ambush them unless they deserve to be ambushed. But just a couple of weeks back, we had Ray Stanford. And I know in anticipation of that, people were saying, well, okay, Chris is a friend of Ray Stanford. He's not going to ask reasonable questions. But now, since the show, they haven't said anything.
Well, I guess that's a good thing. Somebody did make the observation a while back that the less furor and response that you have on the forum after a guest is on the I guess the better the show was. So, you know, we haven't had that much negative response, very little at all on the Ray Stanford episode. So that's a good thing, I really, really think.
What about the evidence that we presented? Now, one of the things I asked him to do on the show was to get us some audio files. How's that coming?
Well, he's in the process right now of going through the tape that that he referred to on the segment. And we're going to go ahead and do a phone session. I'm going to help him digitize it. He's never worked with digital audio before. But the machine that he had wasn't working properly, so he had to find another one. He's done that, and we're ready to do our session and get those audio clips up there.
Now, basically, this is just an ordinary cassette recorder that he used, right?
Correct.
Okay, so he buys the $25 cassette recorder. You can still buy those things, can't you?
Well, you can, but you need one that has good frequency response because the type of sound that we're going to be most interested in is a very low frequency sound, and some of your cheaper cassette players don't really have the ability to reproduce those particular frequencies. So he's getting a good quality cassette player that has a good frequency response so that we can do a proper analog to digital conversion.
You don't know how many hours of recording we have to deal with here, do you?
It's only 35 minutes worth of audio, but this is something that he needs to do for all his audio tapes at some point. He's got many, many hours that he's recorded over the years of on-site investigations, and like his films, these audio tapes should be digitized. Another thing that we're working with Ray on, I have someone who's helping make the film to, the motion picture film to digital conversion process a reality. And this is very important because that's Ray's primary data, visual data. And we really need to get all those films that he's taken since 1956 digitized so that we can see this wonderful footage that he's accumulated over the years.
You know, as we were talking, I was looking over at the Radio Shack website to see just how many cassette recorders they have. And I saw just two, and those two were combos with a radio, you know, kind of a small boombox with a built-in cassette recorder. That was it. They're not so easy to get, are they?
No, I don't really even think they make them anymore except, you know, as part of a combination unit. However, if you go out there and look in, you know, some used electronic stores, that sort of thing, there are some out there, which is, I guess, where he got the one that he has.
Right. You go to one of the specialty stores. There is a standard cassette voice recorder from Sony, which actually costs $37. But if you want to get an archiving product like an Alesis, they make audio recording equipment, it's $220.
Right.
So there you go. Today we have something unusual for the Paracast. You know, in large part, we've talked about UFOs, current UFOs, not so much UFOs in ancient times. We've had that discussion also. We've also talked a few times about Bigfoot, such as the session we recently had with David Hatcher Childress, talking about his Yeti book. And we had, of course, cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman on the show. We've talked about ghosts a few times. We've talked about general paranormal occurrences of all kinds with Jason Offutt and Phil Imbrogno and others. But this is the kind of topic that we're going to have today that we really haven't approached. So before we get into our session with Clifford Mahudi, who is he?
Clifford is the first Zuni elder that's ever agreed to do a radio interview such as we're going to be doing today. He recently appeared in the History Channel Ancient Aliens, or I think Ancient Astronauts or Ancient Aliens. I'm not sure what the name of the series was, but he agreed to go on camera and talk about the Zuni Indians' sacred star knowledge. This is a subject that has not been presented to the rank-and-file public because it is very special knowledge that certain Native American cultures have accumulated over many generations, possibly thousands of years. And this is actually going to be a historic show, Gene. We've never heard, to my knowledge, from a Zuni elder on the radio about anything, let alone talking about their sacred star knowledge and star people tradition. And this is an episode I'm really looking forward to doing. Clifford Mahudi is a rare individual. He is a world-class civil engineer. He worked as a supervisor for the Department of Interior, Bureau of Indian Affairs, civil engineering projects for Indian reservations for 25 years. He's worked as an engineer, mechanical engineer for Shell Oil. He's extremely intelligent, very well schooled. And he is deeply immersed into his Zuni spiritual culture, the medicine societies and Kiva societies and clan knowledge that he holds is very admirable. And he's made it his life's work to collect these stories and make sure that these stories are passed along to the next generation so that they don't lose these important parts of their culture. He's a man that straddles both the white man's world and the native world, and he's a rare individual, and we're so fortunate and so lucky to have him on the program today.
Just a couple of questions about him before we get him on. How did you meet him first?
Well, that's a good question. I happened to finally take the plunge after 15 years, and I went to the Laughlin Conference 2 years ago, and he just basically walked up and introduced himself and told me he was a fan of my work, that he had read my books, and that he thought that I would be very interested in hearing some of the information that he was willing to talk about. And so we struck up a friendship. I made a number of trips up to the Zuni Reservation and stayed with him. He's made a number of trips down here to the Sedona area. And we've actually become very good friends. And he's a Clown Clan elder, which is the trickster clan, basically, in Native American tradition. He has a very, very good sense of humor.
So this guy is a trickster.
He's a trickster. He's a real trickster. So we're going to have to pin him down a little bit.
Or watch ourselves and see what he does.
Or watch ourselves, yeah. So Native American clan societies and medicine societies, there is a trickster clan or a clown clan in many of the Native American traditional tribes, and Clifford is a Clown Clan, card-carrying clown medicine society member. So this is going to be fun.
Okay, so does that mean he dresses up as a clown too?
Well, when it's appropriate, yes. The rest of the time, I mean, he's very dapper. He has.
He just looks like a regular guy.
He looks like a regular guy.
Okay, we have another regular guy with us this week, of course, our co-host Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, neighbors, have you been thinking about starting a website? Well, I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a world-famous leader in web hosting, and they make it easy for you to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and great selection of templates. Use the coupon code PARACAST. Once again, use the coupon code PARACAST and sign up at this special address, theparacast.com/gator. That's G-A-T-O-R, theparacast.com/gator.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist, and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
I'm Gene Steinberg. This is the Paracast. And Chris O'Brien is going to be here right now to introduce our special guest. Chris?
Clifford, thank you so much for being on the show. This is actually, as I mentioned in the warm-up to this is actually a pretty historic moment. To your knowledge, Are you the first Zuni elder that's ever really gone on the air and done a broadcast like this?
I believe I am. I don't know of anybody else in the village here that has done that.
Well, why don't we first kind of bring people up to speed on who exactly the Zuni are? Perhaps give us some background on your growing up and how your culture is divided into Medicine Clan and Kiva societies, so that people can get a flavor of this very ancient indigenous tradition that you are part of, that has been here in North America for thousands of years. I think that would be a good place to start.
Okay, well, the Zuni people are located close to the Four Corners area in toward New Mexico. It borders Arizona. It's on the reservation south of the Interstate 40, and we're situated in an area that is part desert and part green woodland area. And we have been here, according to our history, for at least, I don't know how many thousands of years. And the culture here is we're one of the 19 Pueblo Indians that survived throughout the centuries. And we're close to, like, the Hopi and some of the Rio Grande tribes up to the east. We are a very distinct society or tribe because we have our own language, which is not connected to any language. The linguists have tried for many, many years to try to determine where our origin is, and they've never figured it out. We are 95% of our Zuni religion is practiced by the people here, but we also have been influenced by the Catholic Church in times past that we have also that group here. But our system is primarily made up of the indigenous culture of priesthood, clan systems, kachina systems, medicine order systems, and a lot of very different types of orders that are very prevalent among the Zuni people here.
It sounds very complicated, all the interrelationships between these different groups. You mentioned the clan groups, Kiva groups, and medicine societies. Do you want to tell us how these breakdowns work?
Well, first of all the Zuni people belong to a certain clan. These clans were developed during the creation, and it was put in order by what we call the Star People. And the second biggest group is the Kachina Society system, which all the young men of the village belong to. They're initiated into the system. And also the clan system has very many different people that have many different orders that are connected with the clan systems that are sort of leaders of different orders. For example, the Kachina system is headed by the Deer clan and the Badger clan, and no other clan would hold that position. The other clan systems have other orders, but depending on what responsibility they have for the well-being of the community and the tribe in general, they have their own designated leaders. As far as the medicine order system is concerned, we're connected with the other pueblos, especially up in the Curies pueblos around Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so we have many, many different systems. And, of course, there's subsystems within these main groups. So it's a very complex society, and if you look at a matrix, if you set up a matrix, you're going to have a lot of different systems interwoven in order to carry out the functions of the tribe in general.
Just a fast question here, how many of you are there now?
There's about, the census says there's about between 12 to 13,000 people.
Okay. Now, do you exist separate from other tribes very much or what?
Well, we're isolated physically, geographically, but we do not have any interconnection with other tribes in that, as far as the language and the culture is concerned. But we are also connected as far as the different customs and the spirituality with the other peoples. We are connected in many, many ways. For example, like the Hopi, we're pretty well parallel with their dances and their folklore and their mythology. But since we are a very distinct tribe, ours are very specific, but we also are parallel with what their beliefs are.
So which clan were you born into? And it is a matriarchal system, correct? The mother is the one that passes down the clan affiliation to the children?
Yes, the Zuni is a matrilineal and matriarchal system. I belong to the Sun Clan, and because it's a matrilineal, my mother is also a Sun Clan, but I am also a child of my father's clan, which in this case is the Dogwood. And actually, they also have breakdowns. There's two groups within the Dogwood clan. One is the Raven or the Crow, and the other one is the Parrot clan. The Parrot clan being the ones that are related to the people that went south, which would probably be Mexico, Central America, and so on.
Okay, why don't we get into how do you learn? How are you taken into the medicine lineages, and how are you taken into the Kiva? I think the Kiva affiliation will be the first one that you're exposed to as a young boy. Why don't you describe that process a little bit for us, and then we'll move into your very interesting life history.
Well, first of all, like I said, the young people, the young boys of the village, have to become a member of the Kachina Society, and there's a whole initiation ceremony that they have to go through, and the reason for initiation is so they can participate in the Kachina Society activities. The Kachina Society is actually a priesthood that is directly related to the Sky People, as so stated in our history of the origin of the Sky People and the adaption into the Kachina Society sometime way back. And every boy between the ages of about 6 to about 10 years old has to belong to a Kachina Society, and there's six kivas in the village, the Zuni people. And each one of those, the kid that is a boy that is initiated has to make a determination by his godfather to take to what kiva that he should belong to.
I'll tell you what, Clifford, we'll get into more detail of that in a moment. Chris O'Brien is our co-host. Our guest is Clifford Mahudi. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Okay, neighbors, here's the problem. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues are always going to be important. But business travel is a hassle, and it's often a complete waste of money. Well, here's a solution for you. Do more, travel less with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. With just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your own desk. Avoid the hassle of traveling and still exceed your sales goals. Plus, GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. Plus, voice over IP and phone conferencing is included. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Once again, GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one, because everything you need at Military Surplus is at mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, one of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to mainmilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99, complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories, finish and M10 gas masks are 3 for $30, and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
If you've used the drug Reglan, or its generic form, metoclopramide, please listen carefully. Reglan has been shown to cause serious neurological side effects, consisting of involuntary movements of the face, limbs, and other body parts. If you or a loved one has suffered this condition, call the New York and New Jersey law firm of Oshman and Mirasola at 888-730-DRUG. That's 888-730-DRUG for a free consultation. Call 888-730-DRUG. That's 888-730-3784. If you've taken the contraceptive Yaz or Yasmin, please listen carefully. These drugs have been found to cause blood clots in the body and gallbladder disease. If you or a loved one has suffered these side effects, contact the New York and New Jersey firm of Oshman and Mirasola at 888-730-DRUG immediately for free consultation. Call 888-730-DRUG. That's 888-730-3784. Again, call Oshman and Mirasola at 888-730-3784.
Hello, this is Steve Schenck. Remember when Alex told you to spell freedom, F-O-O-D? Well, it was true. Food prices are going up even for eFoods Direct. This will require the first price increase in 3 years. Legislation is in process to outlaw growing and sharing of food. Millions of families are being forced to depend on the government to feed them. Food prices are going up for Americans because other countries are buying our food. The most important thing Americans can do for freedom and survival in these hardest of times is to get supplies of food. Because of your huge response to this buy three get one free special, it will be continued for 7 more days until September 27th. The new price increase will take effect September 28th. eFoods Direct is helping fight for your freedom, spelled F-O-O-D, every way they can. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Chris O'Brien is your co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Our special guest, Clifford Mahudi, and we're talking about Indian legends and culture. Chris, pick it up, please.
So you mentioned Star People three times now, and I'm sure some of our listeners are going, Chris, you got to have him talk about that. We are going to be getting into the Star People, but I think the first place to start is the very interesting information that you imparted to me when we first met, which is the relationship between the Kachina societies and the Star People. Do you want to give us a thumbnail sketch of how this tradition is set up and what the actual connection between the Kachinas and the Star People are?
Well, first of all, like I said, I had my teachings from my elders. And the Kachina society is actually a priesthood of the Star People. What I have learned within the last research and just going through the lores and the rituals, is that when I first heard about the Kachina people, when I got initiated, that's when you start learning about the system. And so the connection between the Kachina and the Star People is that in the beginning, when the earth was still young, and then the Zunis call it when the earth was still raw, in other words, uncooked. So that was in the beginning. The Kachinas actually used to come to the villages of the indigenous people throughout the Southwest. And they were scattered all over what presently is Arizona, New Mexico, probably even clear up to Colorado. But because that the Star People would come over and dance for the people and go through their rituals and bringing them a lot of different gifts, such as rain, about their ways of agriculture, and about different gifts from the Sky People, the people would become mesmerized, and they would actually fall in love because of their total energy and their total love, and they would become abducted, or they fell in love with these people, and eventually the Zuni people would sort of be so mesmerized that they would either die or they were either abducted. And according to the teachings of my elders, that they had to come to a truce between the sky people and the people that they come to visit to make some type of a substitution so they cannot go and decrease the population. So that's where the priesthood of the sky people and the priesthood of the Zuni people came to a truce to set up a system that they could emulate them and be representative of the star people. During that process, the star people would only come in spirit form and not appear in three-dimensional, what that they used to do. So that's in the thumbnail sketch of how the Kachina came about. So that's where the masks were made, and also the protocols and the procedures were made so that way that they would have some type of an order that they have to follow. So it's a very complex thing. It's sort of very methodical, and also it's very complex on how to carry out the rituals.
Now, when we think of star people, Clifford, of course, we think of E.T. coming here in ancient times and interacting with the local population. So do you regard the star people as E.T.?
Well, the teachings of the elders say that the heavens or the sky people, the star people and the sky people, they don't really explain where they came from, but just by observation alone today, if you go to any of the villages and look at the Kachinas, you can tell by their different design of the Kachina and the mask and the makeup and the way that they make sounds or just their dress. You can pretty well make a connection that they are from different parts of the universe, if you may, and perhaps even different star systems because of their different character and their different design. So that's one way to just look at it. But it's very difficult to really understand because there has never been any written history about it, so it's just the word that is passed on.
Okay, so this is an oral legend. So it's like father the son, mother the daughter, whatever. Everything is oral-based. There's no written or paper trail to follow.
Well, yes, that is correct. But there's also a formal system that they go, and this knowledge is passed on by not only by rituals, but also by prayer, by chants, by songs, and just by everyday practice of how they did things way back in the past. So there's a very, very comprehensive way of passing this knowledge on to the younger generation. And we have, we still keep that information system, and it's passed on, like you say, from generation to generation. And so this is one order, the Kachina system, that's passed on by the Kachina priesthood. And they're the keepers of the history, the tradition, the initiation rites, and the procedures and the protocols.
Now, one of the things, I guess, those of us who grew up in the Western world in terms of our backgrounds maybe don't understand the concept of this oral tradition very much. How, when you pass this information on from person to person, do you ensure that it's accurately conveyed?
Well, first of all, the prayer system is probably the most formal one. The everyday language of the Zuni is just like any other language. There's a lot of slang in it. Then the second order is more in what we do in rituals. Probably the third and the fourth order are like the formal system where you pass this information on, and it's done by prayer. So it's done by prayer that you repeat, and you keep repeating it, and there's a lot of tie-ins that go into other systems, but depending on the occasion, that's what it's a very tough situation to explain because everything is oral, so you have to know all the things that is relevant to whatever the occasion is and whatever the ritual is and whatever the prayer involves in. But there's also a lot of parallels within your prayer system to different networking with other systems in the Zuni systems.
When you say prayer, though, what you're saying is that these are memorized stanzas, basically, that do not change through the generations. They are passed down word for word. In other words, there's no room for any sort of interpretation or variation. These are prayers and stanzas that are memorized word for word. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's memorized, and also there's also a lot of references. The reference, right. The time schedule, the time reference is like the moon system, or the sun, and also there. If you look at it from the Zuni world, it rotates clockwise from where we are at in the middle of Zuni, and they do it by wherever the altars are at, wherever the springs are at, in certain ritual place, but that's only within the Kachina system. The other systems also have other reference points, for example, like in the star systems. But we really do not know the white man's terms for different star systems. I mean, we know about the other constellations, we know about the other star systems, but we have our own name for those, which we knew about them before the white man came up with their astronomy and the other references. So it's very complex.
Well, we'll try to sort this out in a moment as we progress through this interview. We have Clifford Mahudi telling us about the Zuni legends, about the legends of star people in ancient times, about their culture, and how information is passed from generation to generation. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
If your handgun is loaded and easy to get to, it's also dangerous. What if you could reach your loaded handgun instantly and still provide a margin of safety for your family? Introducing the Drag and Draw Gun Vault from MyQuickSafe.com. The Drag and Draw Gun Vault is a small portable gun safe for subcompact pistols or snub-nosed revolvers. It's made of heavy gauge steel, padded inside, and uses your fingerprint to open and close. With the Drag and Draw Gun Vault, you'll now be able to keep your handgun locked and loaded without fear of an accident. See the revolutionary Drag and Draw Gun Vault in action and order yours online at MyQuickSafe.com. That's MyQuickSafe.com. Or call toll-free 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. That's 1-877-327-0365. Or go to MyQuickSafe.com. Stay locked, loaded, and safe with the Drag and Draw Gun Vault from MyQuickSafe.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We continue with Clifford Mahudi, Azuni Elder, talking about Indian culture and legends and the things that, of course, are interesting to those of us who follow all this lore, especially where it conveys the impression of possible visitations by ancient astronauts, maybe. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Our co-host, Chris O'Brien, picks it up.
Okay, let's talk about Clifford a little bit here. You are a rare individual, and you're one of the few people that I've ever even heard of, let alone met, that has successfully navigated both the white man's world and your own traditional ancient culture. Why don't you give us a little background on your life, your very interesting life as an engineer and as a person that is able to straddle both these worlds?
Well, first of all, I was born in 1944 during the Second World War, so right now I'm 66 years old. But right after the Second World War, there's a lot of things that were happening in this country, and being an isolated individual on an Indian reservation, you don't see very much. We didn't have any television. The only radio station we had was one out of KOB in Albuquerque and one out of Gallup. So that was my information system. However, the interesting part about my life was that when I started to go to school in a government day school that's run by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, I started learning about a lot of things, and I was very curious about the sciences, and then at the same time I was also brought up by my elders about what I am talking about the different culture and about the religious order systems in Zuni. By the time I was in high school, I had already acquired an interest and a curiosity about the scientific world, especially in mathematics and chemistry and biology and so on. But at that time, I grew up during the years of the Sputnik era and then into the space race, and then I graduated from college when man landed on the moon. But between those years, I got to be very curious about what our chants and our prayer system and our rituals were all about. And at that time, I thought this was so ancient. Why do we need to know about these things when it doesn't mean anything to me individually? And I said, because I did not understand. I was going through the motions. I was going through the rituals. I was trying to learn the prayer systems. Of course, it was very hard. But at that time, I had very few teachers, especially in my family, because I did not have any elders in my family. They had all died off by the time I was about a teenager. So after graduation from high school, I got interested in the science fairs, back in the late 50s and early 60s. So I started getting involved with a lot of science fair projects. I started learning about the math, about calculus, about physics, and so on. And it was very interesting. So I kind of left the Zuni side of it sort of like in a passive mode. But, however, I was still practicing the rituals, the prayer systems, the fastings, the prayer to the gods, and the kachina dances, and so on. Of course, I was already in the kachina society at that time. So I started my engineering career, well, actually, my curriculum in 1962, which was during the space race. And so I was there through 1969 when all the Apollo series and all these things were going on. Of course, I was still isolated in terms of my thinking because I was going back and forth between the Zuni system and the white man's engineering systems, but it started dawning on me that why do I need to know the Zuni system? Because the engineering system is a lot more comprehensive, and it's more, fun, and at the same time, it has more solid evidence of what this world is all about. At that time, little did I know that this was not the real path that was to my future about finding out a lot of things. So I graduated from college with an engineering degree in civil engineering, and at that time, I was still out left without getting into the medicine order. Of course, I was kachina. I was doing the practices of the holy system in Zuni, but I still did not have any solid backing about what to expect from me to be part of the whole Zuni society system. So that was my basic understanding of where I was going at that time.
So then you got into engineering. You worked for Shell Oil, if I remember, for a year or two. And then you ended up in the Bureau of Indian Affairs. You actually worked as a supervisor for large civil engineering projects around the country on Indian reservations. You want to give us a brief overview of your work for 20-plus years, working for good old Uncle Sam and some of the projects that you were involved with?
Prior to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, I worked for Shell Oil Company for about 3 years, and that's the time that we had the first, supposedly, the gasoline shortage in the early 70s. I left the Shell Oil Company because I just did not feel right about doing something that was not true, which was gasoline shortage. It was my job to burn gasoline, so I left that. Went to work with Indian housing programs, and I even came to work for my tribe here, the Zuni tribe. And then after that, I went and got a commission as a commission officer in the U.S. Public Health Service. After Public Health Service, I went to work for the Bureau of Indian Affairs because I wanted to see if I can make a dent in the organization about how they were taking care of the Indian people. I was with the Bureau of Indian Affairs for 25 years, as a construction and maintenance engineer on a lot of projects throughout the whole United States of America, clear up to Alaska, both coasts, the Pacific Atlantic coast, and so I was involved with those type of projects. But after that, I concentrated on the environmental portion of it because I felt that that was going to be the thing to look for. This was in about the mid-80s when I switched over to environmental. So since 1985, I've been involved with the environmental program, and my position at that time was what they call the environmental justice coordinator for the representation of 581 federally recognized Indian tribes all the way up to Alaska and down here in the United States. I mean, the continental United States. So I was quite involved with anything from toxic substances to all the EPA regulatory requirements, reservation development, road construction, anything that has to do with environmental assessments, enforcement of regulations. So I spent the last 25 years of that And so I became very disillusioned, and because I was trying to do my job, but it was very difficult to get the Indian tribes and the federal government to work hand in hand to get things accomplished. So that was one of the reasons why I took retirement 3 years ago in 2007, because it was very hard, difficult to get things working together among the tribes with the federal government and also with a lot of state agencies.
Let me ask you a fast question here, because this kind of relates to a lot of the other stuff we're going to go into in sure. further sections on the show. And that is, the legends that you report from your culture, are they shared with a lot of other tribes?
The other tribes have their own legends because of their specific creation mythologies. The only two that are parallel right now is the Hopi and the Zunis, because they came from the Grand Canyon. The other cultures, like up in the pueblos around Albuquerque and Santa Fe, they got their legends that come from the north, the creation of those. So the legends are parallel. When I mean parallel, I mean the way that the certain orders are all about. For example, the clan system. You go to any one of the pueblos, and you can always find the same clans that are here in Zuni. For example, the Bear Clan, the Deer Clan, the Sun Clan. You can go to one of those pueblos, and they're parallel with those, but their languages are different. There's basically three groups. First of all, is the Kiwis group, which are around Albuquerque, and the Tewas, which are around Santa Fe and up north, and the Tiwa, which is T-I-W-A, which is Isleta Pueblo out south of Albuquerque, and the Taos Pueblo and Sandia tribe.
I'll tell you what, we'll have to cover more of this in our next section, Clifford.
Okay.
We have Clifford Mahudi. Our co-host this week is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.